Coming up on Modern Veterinary Practice.
In veterinary, we've got a particular circumstance. We are really regarded as frontline workers. We haven't stepped back from COVID. We've actually stepped into it. We're massively trying to maintain and manage our PPE and, you know, COVID security in our practices. And we're having to still deal with all the stuff we had prior to COVID. We've got to deal with clients. We've got to deal with our own workload.
Welcome to Modern Veterinary Practice. I'm your host and veterinary IT expert, Jack Peplow. In this week's episode, I'll be talking to Vet Dynamics' Alan Robinson about the spectrum of human potential and how vets can tap into theirs. And I'll also introduce you to SimpleSat, an out-of-the-box, easy-to-use feedback tool you can implement and forget about whilst it does the work for you. It's so good that we use it every day, so watch this space. To start this episode off, I wanted to talk about feedback. I don't know about you, but I heavily rely on reading reviews prior to making any purchase. More to the fact, if you then bring my Labrador Puffett into the mix, I'm going to do some pretty extensive research prior to any visit to a potential vet. Why? Because I want to hear from other pet owners that their experience was great, their pet was very well looked after, and the general customer experience was well done. So I was actually chatting to one of my clients the other day as part of our QBR, and they brought up the question of how do I gain more customer reviews for my practice? It's a great question, as I know a number of you will be facing the same challenges, and that is that clients generally do not share feedback, especially when they're not prompted to do so. So what can you do? Well, there are actually a number of ways you can gain feedback, and it would definitely be worth mentioning Google My Business. Now, I'd hope that most of you have this configured already, and if you don't, get on and do it. It's likely going to be the first thing people see on the right-hand side when they search for your veterinary practice. However, there are other ways, and the one method I wanted to talk about was using feedback platforms. Now, feedback platforms can in many ways simplify the feedback collection process for you, as well as providing a seamless experience for your clients, making it more likely for them to leave you a positive review. Now, we use a feedback platform called SimpleSat. It is brilliant and super easy to use. The added benefit is that it also integrates directly with our PSA, which is our equivalent of a PMS. Now, even if it didn't integrate, there is still a really easy way to request feedback from your clients by just integrating a simple bit of code in all your follow-up emails that go to the clients after their appointment. When the client receives this email, they have three simple faces from happy to sad, and they just click the one that they feel relates to the experience they had. Further to this, if they had a great experience and only a great experience, they can easily share via one click this same feedback directly onto other platforms such as Google and Facebook, which provides you with some brilliant exposure. Now, as a practice manager or owner, you'd get a simple dashboard to review showing you an overall feedback stat, as well as the ability to drill down to individual feedback and specifically focus on feedback with comments so you can learn and continually develop your service. Finally, you can also add a little widget on your website, which is extremely easy to do, especially if you have a CMS like WordPress. This then bolsters your social proof that the level of service you provide your clients is excellent. As I mentioned, this is one of many platforms, as there are so many out there, but it is one we've tried and tested and seen some great results. So do check it out. It's called SimpleSat.
The interview.
Hi, Alan Robinson here from Vet Dynamics. Great to be on this podcast with Jack. I'm a vet by trade, but I do tell the story that I'm feeling much better these days, which basically means I've moved on from veterinary clinical career into veterinary practice management consultancy, which means I didn't fall far from the tree when I sort of gave up the clinical side, but I'm certainly well embedded in the veterinary world. And my interest is human development, personal development and high performance in people and teams.
Oh, that's cool, Alan. It's quite a big transition, but an exciting one. Really great to have you on the show and also to have a catch up. Obviously, it's been a little while. So how are you and the team at Vet Dynamics doing?
Oh, we're bearing up. It's a little like everyone else here. There's sort of this permafrost of exhaustion, I suppose, or just weariness and a little bit sick of the whole COVID situation. But we're in the process of engaging with the whole market after 2020. We see 2021 as a huge opportunity. So yeah, we're all busy and well.
Yeah, no, it's quite a transition we've all had to make. I tell you what, I can't wait to get outside the house when that day's allowed. But making do as we are at the moment. So when I first approached you about being on the podcast, I asked you what you wanted to talk about, and you came back to me with something I wasn't quite expecting, I'll be honest. And that was the spectrum of human potential. Can you explain to me what you meant by this for those listening?
Yeah, this is not quite a bandwagon, but obviously there's a lot of talk at the moment around team resilience and welfare. It's been a dramatic shift in the veterinary profession, a paradigm shift in itself, that the focus has always been be a better vet, be clinical, look out. And clients have kind of come at the back end, and then the people themselves have always been the bottom of that pile to a degree. Now the focus for everyone is get your team on, not just on board, but keep them healthy, keep their welfare at the expense of clients and at the expense of finance, seems to be the couple of things, and occasionally at the expense of clinical care. But what we tend to do, and when you look at a lot of the initiatives, we look at the human model as it's broken. There's something wrong with vets generally, that they're not resilient. I mean, there's a millennial aspect of that, which I think is unwarranted. There's a vets can't cope, they didn't get the training at university. And with that goes a real blame culture around we're broken individuals, let's fix them and get them back to normal. And normal is sort of this basic amorphous state where we're not really performing, we're not doing very well. I'm a great believer that that's the normal state. We're actually in a difficult situation. There's lots of reasons for that, personal, interpersonal, environmental, that we've dropped to that bottom end of the spectrum. But what's ignored is the top end of high individual and team performance, when we have curiosity, we have connection, we have real regard for each other, positive, intentional regard for each other, and some level of transcendence to be looking forward to a future and a potential that you just don't talk about in the veterinary profession, but we do talk about it in other realms.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you believe that vets tend to spend much of their time at the lower end. Again, what do you mean by this, and why do you think that is?
The talk in veterinary space, and if you look at the online forums and different things, there's a negativity to it. There's kind of a victim mentality. There's a martyrdom to it as well. We're tough, resilient, we'll work out through this, which is a good attribute to have until you fall over, of course. Temperamentally, vets and vet nurses, don't want to leave nurses out of this because they are sort of an underappreciated people in this. And I personally think there's going to be a bigger fallout in that realm than the vets. Mm-hmm. But we talk about, we've got to get them on board. They're not very good at people. They're not very good at communication. They're not very good at this. We're all basically human, homegrown humans that work perfectly well. But I do think the circumstances, our training, there's an innate set of traits that have been embedded in the veterinary world. And this is when I jokingly say I'm feeling much better. I reflect on that and say, well, actually, a lot of those traits I've, and this isn't boasting, but I've kind of overcome or actually become aware of them, more importantly. And then you can step forward and do something about it. And we do a lot of this in our coaching programs. We do group coaching programs. And I present this to my mastermind groups almost as an advanced leadership style. And I get good response to that. And people say, well, that's why didn't someone teach me this 25 years ago when I was at veterinary school? And that's kind of what we're working on. The best time to do this was 25 years ago. The second best time is right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, completely agree with that. And I mean, this is obviously especially relevant now with the whole pandemic, and it's very much, I suppose, put more pressure on, you know, vet teams. And we all know that basically well-being plays a huge part in being able to reach full potential. Burnout is becoming more and more common, with the veterinary sector reporting higher rates of anxiety, from what I can see, depressive symptoms, suicidal thoughts and suicide risk than, say, the general population. Is this something that you see a lot with practices that you start to work with?
I think it's across the board. I mean, nursing, teaching, I mean, homeschooling, my God. There's a challenge for people.
Yeah.
but I think in veterinary, we've got a particular circumstance. We are really regarded as frontline workers. We haven't stepped back from COVID. We've actually stepped into it. We're massively trying to maintain and manage our PPE and COVID security in our practices. And we're having to still deal with all the stuff we had prior to COVID. We've got to deal with clients, we've got to deal with our own workload, the busyness. I mean, I've got a set of veterinary traits in my list that actually define how vets really work. And there's sort of a degree of high emotional content. So the compassion and care element, when, of course, we know there's a huge thing, not just burnout, but compassion fatigue, which is slightly different. Mm-hmm. There's a risk adverseness. We actually like stability. We really don't like uncertainty. And anxiety is just uncertainty with built around that. And then conflict adverse. And of course, what we're getting is clients getting sick of this as well and reacting to that. And there is an underlying basic neuroticism in vets. And now that's a psychological term, not a critical term. And that just means there's a degree of high alertness or sensitivity to detail, to response, to communications, etc., which makes us much more prone to anxiety. So put those sort of people in an anxious, stimulating environment, you've certainly got a problem brewing. But I'm constantly surprised how well teams have come through this, how well they've managed it. And that's really a promising piece. As long as we learn the lessons and keep them going, everyone's talking about return to normal. I really don't want that to happen.
No, and I mean, on that, I was going to say, I completely agree with you. I mean, the amount of change that vets, veterinary practices and veterinary teams have had to go through, especially, I mean, from my side, from the technological side, because there's just been so much new technology. It's almost like the industry has been brought 10 years forward within literally the space of, it feels like a couple of weeks at the start. And for me, it was quite amazing to see how they adapted to that. You know, going on to your point you just said there, how can veterinary teams avoid from reverting back as such?
No one likes change is basically tenant here. I mean, the saying is people don't like to be changed. They like to instigate change, perhaps, is the only way they can sort of cope with it. What we have had, maybe this is a bonus in that what we've had in the past, a little exercise, like I want to introduce new technology or a pet health club, or I want to introduce something in the practice. So the ownership gets together, decides on what to do, goes and imposes it on the staff and say, right, do that. 3 months later, everything reverts back to normal. The management say, well, tried that, didn't work. Let's not do it again. And that's the typical change mechanism that we see fairly typically. This time, we've had it very, very with COVID. In fact, we've had it imposed on us. And it was actually very personal because we could get ill, someone we knew could get ill. Yeah. It was global and it was high authority. It wasn't your boss saying, it was the government and everyone else. So there was all that sort of mechanism. But the real feature was there was no going back. There was no point of reversing out of this ever and still haven't. So now that we've been doing it, first lockdown, everyone adopted technology. Let's try this new stuff. Second lockdown, everyone gave up technology. Third lockdown, we're here and people are going, oh, do I really have to? Well, maybe I do have to. Mm. Maybe now it's been so chronic, I need to take on technology, be it, you know, apps, video consults, or upgrading their communications technology, all the things that need to happen.
Yeah.
It's now that chronicity, or it's been around so long without being able to back out of it, that I think may give it the boost. And I think that technology is going to be a major shift for practices, not just from performance and finance, but from a welfare point of view, because what the messages we're getting is that the technology is interestingly creating a firewall between the vet doing the job and the client turning up, albeit a car park and other such things in the way.
Yeah.
That has actually lowered the stress levels on vets in a stressful situation. But what we're also seeing is that because nurses and receptionists and vets are interacting with messaging and technology and teams and videos and other such things, actually client satisfaction is going up paradoxically as a result of that. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out for a future scenario.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think it's, this applies to everyone. You know, we've all had to adapt with technology. I mean, you know, thinking back pre-COVID, if you thought the fact that pretty much everyone would be on platforms like Zoom and Team, it just, you wouldn't even think that would be possible. And the fact is, I suppose that clients' expectations, because they've got to play with this new technology, and the fact that they can have information now, you know, it is changing their expectations. limitations. And I suppose it's the fact that, you know, like you say, vets have had to adapt and, you know, they're able to provide a greater experience for clients, which is fantastic. Sort of stepping away a little bit from COVID, even though this is kind of relevant, is do you think that in some ways that the unpredictability of work can hold back vets from reaching their potential?
Yeah, the unpredictability, uncertainty is not a temperamental trait within the veterinary profession. What vets are good at is turning up, seeing the job ahead of them, head down, getting the job done and doing it to the best of their ability. And that's a very temporal thing. Everything's within their current vision, and what's in front of them basically is most important. The uncertainty sort of closes people in, so they don't even lift their head and look a little bit further down the road. And it's very hard to keep that change going. But like I said, because it's now becoming part of the daily routine, it's embedding in the day-to-day work, it will probably sustain that way. But the uncertainty will remain. Where you control uncertainty is hunking it down to the smallest manageable chunk that you can deal with. And if that's just your 15-minute consultation or your 30 minutes operating, that's where people do. So see, if you can introduce the technologies and these other changes we're talking about into that environment, I think we'll get a big uptake.
Cool. No, and this may be a bit of a tricky one. I know you've kind of covered some areas, but what would you say would be the top three areas you would ask vets to work on to really unlock their human potential?
So we're kind of talking day-to-day and technology. If you're talking about human potential, I'm listening to lots of podcasts, doing lots of webinars and hearing lots of advice for people. I'm a little bit cynical because I'm a vet maybe, but I'm a little bit cynical around responses like, well, you need to have a growth mindset. You need to adopt a leadership mindset. You need to do this, that, or the other. And the honest point is people don't need to do anything. People have to want to do stuff or achieve that sort of thing. The other thing is like a lot of the positive, and it's all positively intentioned piece. I'm not criticizing that, and it is good ideas. But to say, let's say you need it, Jack, you need a growth mindset.
Yeah.
Okay, so switch that switch on, will you? I just want to see you do that. Off you go. What do you do? You sort of look at me as if you might either think, what are you talking about? What is a growth mindset? Or to, yeah, okay, I know I've got to take information in. I've got to see my mistakes as learning opportunities. I've got to actually move. Or do I know? I know that logically in my head. I have a pretty good prefrontal cortex here, but it just doesn't work for me emotionally. So back to your question, a lot of this stuff is predicated into our embodied nervous system. This could be a whole other podcast, but it's our autonomic nervous system, which, as we know, is in two or three levels. So we have our sympathetic fight-flight mechanism,
yeah.
Uncertainty, COVID, just daily veterinary practices highly stimulates that system. So that is always on and always active. Okay. Now, in that state, we do not learn. We do not take on new information. We do not change. We do not act at our best and highest level. We just hunker down and stay safe. That's how evolution has designed the sympathetic nervous system.
Yes.
Fight, flight, or freeze. Okay. It's given. Okay. At some level, we're probably at that level. There's another level that is stimulated by your parasympathetic, but a dorsal branch of it, which actually sends you into lockdown. So it's the hibernating reptile, it's the tortoise that pulls its head in, it's the deer that freezes in the headlights. That's a whole different system, and that's the lockdown situation. Now, that doesn't happen in humans, except we turn into automatons and we do presenteeism. We turn up, but we just don't function.
Yeah.
That's sort of the worst stage. So moving to the other end of that, there's the parasympathetic ventral system, which actually puts us in our rest and digest, puts us in our learning mode, puts us in our productive mode of actually being able to work and contribute and repair ourselves. And what we have to do, number one, is spend as much time as possible in a parasympathetic state. Now, there's exercise, and there's tools and things to actually measure and monitor that.
Okay.
We rarely get that at work. We have to take that out of work. In an uphill struggle of COVID, we have to find the mini breaks in the day, in the weekends, in our lives, even locked in at home, to go on the downhill run for a recharge of the batteries. That's the hardest trick to do, and encouraging your team to do it. Interestingly, there's a fourth stage of the parasympathetic system, which is called the social engagement system. So you add the parasympathetic ventral vagal system, which is your rest and digest and repair system, yeah. Immunity, health, blood parameters, oxygen, all that stuff is being rebuilt with that. The second, then you add in some cranial nerves and you get your social engagement set, and we then form connection with other human beings. We use eye contact, body language, head orientation, smiles, crinkles in the eyes, all that sort of stuff starts to work. And that's based on your ventral vagal nerve plus your cranial nerves 5, 7, 9, 11, which actually control that communication program. That's a higher level again. Once we're in that, we are storming ahead as fully formed human beings. Now, there's ways and means of getting there on a constant basis, and that's really my passion. That's where I want to sort of get across to people. How can we hack that system? And what I'm talking about here, don't do what I do, because my personality, my habits won't translate to anyone else. Yeah. I'm a different human being from everyone else on this planet, you'll be pleased to hear. However, biology does scale. If we can actually hack these biological pieces, this is innate in every one of us, and which is why I say no one's broken. We all have this system. We just have been learnt, taught, or broken down to we're just not using it anymore. If we can invoke this, we can get different results.
That's amazing. Thank you very much, Alan. Now, before we do close off, you're obviously very well known within the sector, but just in case anyone listening doesn't know who you or Vet Dynamics are, can you give us a brief introduction to who you are, the work that you do, and what you've got on at the moment?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. Vet Dynamics, a veterinary business development consultancy. We've been going since 2000 and who knows, 9, I think, or before then. But we do group coaching, and it's ostensibly we do business coaching. We do all the non-clinical stuff with your business. We help you with your finance. We help you with your teams. We help with leadership. We help with marketing and other such things. And we have a network of people around us, and we have full-time coaches working with us. What we like to do is get 10 or 12 practices together in a room, over 2 days, and we take you through a curriculum business development. Obviously, COVID's put paid to that, and we get really good results with that. We get businesses developing, and you know, there's all sorts of stuff. At the moment, we're now pivoting all that online, technology and everything else, and we're now relaunching that. And what the great news for this year is, which is what been in abeyance, is we're now relaunching our Platinum Groups, which is our group coaching. We're doing that online. We've got two of those starting this year, hopefully. So if people want to really get engaged with this, develop their business, but develop themselves, develop their lifestyles, and develop their teams, that's what we do. And we're going to do this through these online group coaching programs.
That sounds really exciting, Alan. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure.
Recommended reading.
Every week we ask a veterinary professional to suggest a best business book for our listeners. And this week's recommendation is from Pets App's Tom Jenkins, who also happened to be on our first episode.
This is just such a challenging question to just pick one book. I think I'm going to have to just go with a very sort of cliched answer that people are going to judge me for. But I recently read War and Peace. And it's a mammoth task, so there's a sense of pride in the achievement, but also just the way Tolstoy makes the mundane profound and finds the mundanity in the profound. So like the war scenes, it's just like, this is totally pointless, but the relationships between the people is like, that's clearly what matters. And I think among the many things we've learned over the last 9 months, that's got to be one of them, right? Is all those little things that we took for granted. That's what life is. That's so important. And then one, again, to keep the sort of, I guess, the pandemic relevance, I read a book during lockdown called Voyage Around My Room by a French aristocrat who was sentenced to home imprisonment for dueling. And he takes, during his home imprisonment, he takes this voyage around his room. Again, he's finding all these very interesting details in things that had surrounded him from day to day. So, those are just two books off the top of my head that I would recommend.
OK, Coming up next week, we welcome Matthew Flann, Managing Director at Pennard Vets, where we talk about all things pet health plan and why they've made the brave and very successful move to including all consultations in theirs.
One of the things we struggle with in the vet industry is actually charging for our time or having the confidence to charge for our time. And that's a massive psychological barrier for a lot of vets of actually, you know, recognizing that your time is worth money. So while we're building up that, you know, that confidence, that psychology in vets, while we're doing that with our, you know, our young graduates and our teams, almost at the same time, I'm saying to our leadership team, look, guys, it'd be a great idea if we didn't charge for any consults up front. It'd be all in the health club.
That's it for this episode. All links and recommendations we talked about are in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast if you found it useful. In the meantime, thanks for listening and see you next time.